It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up in our Wisconsin Life segment, we'll hear about an annual barn dance and then learn about square dancing here in Wisconsin.
First, musician Chris Plata has earned a reputation across the Midwest for his deaf guitar work and singing on tunes ranging from Tex-Mex polkas and country rock to Mexican ballads.
But Plata first came to the Midwest as the son of migrant field laborers who spent grueling hours picking crops like cotton, vegetables, and fruit.
These experiences shaped his music and his life, both of which are chronicled in a new bilingual English-Spanish biography for young readers called Chris Plata From Fields to Stage, written by Maya Serdum.
Chris Plata joins us now in the studio. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I've seen you perform around Madison over the years. I didn't know your story. In your early years, you lived on a farm in Texas, then your parents became migrant workers. What are some of your childhood memories from going from place to place with your parents?
Basically, it was kind of tough to put into words because we were very poor. So it was basically just a struggle that we always had from moving from place to place. But, you know, I don't want to paint a dire picture because there was a lot of fun in some of the things that we did, which didn't include lots of things to do, but we always had music. So that was always one of the things that was I remember the most about growing up was the music my family played.
What were some of your first musical memories of your family playing or of you picking up an instrument?
The first thing I remember was when I was a small child, my father playing the guitar with some of his friends and then also teaching my oldest brothers how to play and sing. My mother was a singer. Not a professional singer, but she always instructed us on how to sing properly.
And what was it like being a kid? Your parents are out picking cotton early on, later in the Midwest, other products. When did you start working yourself as a child?
I got my Social Security when I was 10 years old and put to work driving a tomato planter in Tipton, Indiana. That was the first job that I ever held in my life.
10 years old. Were you staying on one farm at the time, or did you go from farm to farm then still?
We worked for a canning company, Stokely Van Camp, out of Tipton, Indiana, and all the tomatoes that they planted and harvested were for their ketchup line.
So what were some of the challenges of being a kid, moving from place to place, working on these farms? Were you able to go to school?
I would start school in Texas, and then my family would pull me out, and then I'd enroll in school in the other states that we went to. So it was difficult in the sense that I always was uprooted and had to learn how to make friends on my own terms, because it was difficult in the sense that I was the only migrant, I was the only minority going to like an all Caucasian school. So it made me very self-conscious as a kid. So that was the hard part for me.
But it made you learn to make friends, which might have been hard at the time. Does that serve you as a musician now? You have to make friends with a new audience every night?
Well, sometimes the audiences can be very intimate, which is the old joke of when not too many people show up for a gig, you know, musicians say, well, how was the crowd? Well, very intimate.
The band outnumbers the crowd sometimes.
That's right.
Intimate's a great word. It's like cozy real estate.
Correct.
Well, what were your first impressions of Wisconsin?
The people. They were totally different than the Texan people and other places, Florida and Indiana, that I went to. They were, it seemed to me, maybe this was just, looking at it a little bit different, but they were very friendly, and I always felt very at ease with Wisconsin people for whatever reason, and friends became easy to make here, and I was accepted very quickly in a lot of the communities, a lot of the schools that I went to. People went out of their way to make me feel at ease.
Now, you went from farm to farm in Wisconsin for a while, and you were, I gather, going from Texas, working your way up to Wisconsin. Now you have some farmland here in Wisconsin. When did you know that you wanted to have a piece of farmland in the state to call your own?
Well, I always wanted a place because I always loved horses. I could never afford horses as a young kid because that was out of the question because we didn't have money for that. And then when I married my wife, who is from the Columbus, Wisconsin area, her father has a farm that has a farm that's been there for over 100 years, and sold it to her brother, and then her brother sold us a little bit of land. And since my wife is a veterinarian, we always had some horses, so it was one of those things that it became a childhood dream that came to reality when I was able to purchase a couple of horses and then tend to them, and then also have a grove of fruit trees and be able to plant my old vegetable garden. So that was the thing that I really enjoy about living in Wisconsin, that it has allowed me the opportunity to fulfill one of my dreams.
And you grew up with music as really a main form of entertainment. When did you know that you wanted to be a musician? You wanted to do this for your calling?
I spent a semester in school in Austin, Texas, and instead of attending classes, I went to all the night spots and got in with a lot of the musicians and saw some great performers. And then right there, it was around 1973 that I decided, well, I'm going to try this as a living or whatever, because I had been writing songs for a while, and then I finally saw it done correctly, and I said, well, I want a piece of that.
Well, I think I read some family reaction, you know, your family saying, we've been trying to become non-migrants and settle down somewhere for so long. Why would you take up this musical career that is a different form of migrant labor?
Correct. They wanted me not to be traveling so much, and here I was turning into a professional migrant musician.
Well, I want to listen to a song. Before we do, talk about the song Tequila Mockingbird. I understand it was inspired from experience when you were somebody you met when you were 10 years old.
Yes, we lived in a migrant camp in Tipton, Indiana, and there was a woman there who treated me really nice, always took care of me when my folks were out working. And she had lots of friends that visited her, and it wasn't until I was a grown man that I figured out what was really going on, and so that was the inspiration for Tequila Mockingbird.
We'll give it a little listen.
Singing the sweetest back alley song that you ever heard. Oh, Tequila Mockingbird. Singing the sweetest back alley.
So when we think of migrant labor, if we think of migrant labor, I think probably people imagine all the downside and the hardship, and that's real, I know. But were there a lot of people, whatever they were doing, that made it a positive experience, that were people you connected with along the way?
The positive experience was that you got to see how life really is, and also I got exposed to a lot of different music, a lot of great musicians. So I took that away from my experience with it was going to school without really knowing it. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with migrant worker turned musician Chris Plata, turned farmer too, Chris Plata, who with his band Extra Hot plays Tex-Mex polkas, country rock, swing tunes, and Mexican ballads in venues across the Midwest and beyond. He's based near Columbus, Wisconsin, and he's the subject of a new bilingual English-Spanish book for young readers. It's called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage.
We'll hear more from Chris Plata in just a moment, but first, it is a Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Veronica and Rob with you right now. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something worthwhile when you tune in. Now's the time for you to put a value on this program and everything else you hear on WPR by making a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 22 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those contributions.
And right now, some exciting news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. This generous match is from Peggy from Phillips, and it means that she'll match every dollar that you give up to $2,500. It's her way of encouraging you to join her in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And some more encouragement. When you pledge, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. Donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France.
Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might not know that high schools and colleges use WPR programs as part of their curriculum. Educators recognize that students can learn a lot about current events and great books, history, history, and so much more from listening to the discussions here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your gift makes WPR an educational resource that's available throughout the state and beyond. You have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with a gift. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. If you win, you choose the Rhine River or Alaska or France. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You could send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. During this membership drive, we're offering something very special. It's your chance to win a trip and to choose your own adventure. The lucky winner will choose between a holiday cruise up the Rhine River in Europe, an Alaskan adventure, or a getaway to France. No matter which trip you pick, you'll enjoy great lodging, great food, spectacular sights, and the company of WPR staff and your fellow listeners. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Veronica here with Rob. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $10 a month, $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
More than 14,000 WPR members, more than 14,000, think about that. WPR members are proud, sustaining members. They provide a steady, reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join their ranks by choosing a monthly giving amount, maybe $10 a month, and setting it up on an ongoing basis. It's the best way to support the station that you rely on. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You care about state and regional and world events, and you care what's going on in Wisconsin, the news, the entertainment, the culture. At WPR and here on Central Time, you get all that information and also commentary, suggested reading, too.
You get news and information and also programs that clear your mind and entertain you. Support all the programs that you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now is a fantastic time to pledge because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from a listener, a member, Peggy in Phillips. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, so on. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs, and you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and another great reason to give.
Yeah, we're going to sweeten the deal a little bit more. Pledge any amount, and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, maybe an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France. Double the impact of your pledge. And enter that drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since the last time you gave to WPR. We're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of your support to WPR like you think of the other services that you rely on, like the telephone or the internet. Renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about this? Donna from Madison pledged and says, I'm a sustainer. Well, thank you for that, Donna. But, she goes on, I like making an additional donation during Central Time because I enjoy the show so much. Donna, thank you so much. You've made our day. Well, now how about you? Can Donna inspire you to make maybe your first ever pledge during Central Time, your first ever pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio? You can do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
It's especially exciting because Central Time's only been on the air a little more than a year,
yeah.
So it means something to hear from Donna to support this program and all the great programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Why don't you join her? Support the station that you listen to and that you rely on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.
We're talking with Chris Plata. He is a migrant farm worker turned musician here in Wisconsin. He's known for his unique blend of Tex-Mex, polkas, country rock, Mexican ballads. He plays around Wisconsin, the Midwest, and beyond. He's the subject of a new bilingual English-Spanish book for young readers called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage. Chris, you've said when you came to Wisconsin, you fell in love twice. Can you talk about your two great loves since arriving here?
Well, one was, first of all, was with the such beautiful green, verdant landscape and the people. And then there was a certain young lady that I met. I actually went to school with her and didn't know her. She was a grade ahead of me. And then finally, when we started working out in the fields combining peas, she was one of the first women to ever drive a combine. And so that was where I met my wife, Ann, who's from Wisconsin. So that's one of the reasons why I stayed in Wisconsin.
And I understand she's in your band as well?
Yes, she became the de facto bass player because the person that I'd hired at my first recording session wanted $300 per song. And that was out of my budget. So I said to Ann, you know, you always were a good guitar player. Can you play bass? And she goes, I don't know, but I'll give it a shot. So and she became one of the best bass players that I've ever heard. I got her a really good instructor. The drummer, Clyde Stubblefield, really helped her out to become a really good bass player. So she always says she got her education on the stage.
And so you've been playing with her in the band ever since?
Correct. Since like 1989 is when we first started the group Extra Hot. And it was named Extra Hot because we wanted to name it Flash Flood, but Clyde Stubblefield said he would not play in a band called Flash Flood.
So you were in the band together and you also farmed together. Can you tell us a little bit about your farm?
Basically, it's just kind of like a little truck farm, and most of the vegetables and fruit that are grown are just for our consumption. We make salsa and put up all our vegetables and the cherries and things of that nature. So it's not really a big farm. Maybe it's like 2 acres or whatever, and then we keep our horses at my brother-in-law's pasture. We rent a pasture from him. So it's just kind of to keep me out of trouble or whatever and just keep my hands. And I love growing stuff, so this allowed me the opportunity to keep my hand in that.
I apologize, but is the salsa extra hot?
Well, yes, it is, because I grow these peppers that are from New Mexico called Santa Fe, and they're extremely tasty, but they are a little on the hot side.
Now, I understand you've found it important to use environmentally friendly farming practices on your truck farm. Was this shaped by your early experiences working on farms around the country?
Yes. When I was growing up, a lot of the pesticides that have now been discovered to not be good for you were being sprayed on us on a consistent basis, you know, to keep the pest down and herbicides and things of that nature. DDT was sprayed on our camp where we lived just to keep the mosquito population down. And we used to run into it, and, you know, because it looked like fog, and we're running around and it's saying, oh, this is really cool, not knowing that it was DDT.
And I read in the book, I don't know if this happened to your family, but some of the workers from Mexico who came to work in the fields were actually sprayed with pesticides as a preventative, I guess, when they came into the country?
Well, they kind of thought that they were de-licing them and things of that nature. But I have read that, and it was, you know, I guess a lot of the workers felt like they were treated like cattle, you know, because you do that when you're running them through the chutes and things of that nature. But I can see where it was humiliating for them. But that, I don't really know why they did it, but it was a common practice to maybe de-lice them or whatever.
Well, I want to get a taste of another one of your songs. This one inspired by your family. Ziggy Dreams in Color is the album, and this song is Mi Sueño. Am I saying that right?
Correct.
Let's give a listen.
Cuando yo la miro, tengo la esperanza de llegar a ser su dueño.
Y cuando me duele, now, this song has a story.
Yes, I was recording the album Ziggy Dreams in Color. And my mother had passed away, so my father sent me a letter and a little cassette tape, and he said, I know you're recording a CD, and I've written a song for your mother. And my father was a songwriter many, many years ago, and he had an accident where he lost some fingers, and he stopped playing and singing. So when this cassette came with a letter, I was I opened it up, and then I looked at it, and it said, I want you to record this song that I wrote for your mother. And I was very hesitant to put it on the cassette player because if it was really bad, you know, how was I going to tell my father, no, I don't want to record this. But when I did listen to it, it was the finest gift that he ever gave me as a father, because it was just a song that was written in the style of the 1940s corridos and rancheras, and great song. And I open all my shows that I do now with that song, and people just get up and dance. So it's that was really nice that my father was able to pull one last song out of his life and give it to me.
And your father's since passed away. This is about your mother. What do you feel when you play that song on stage?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you're a singer, you try to get in the emotion of the song. And a lot of times it's very difficult to get through the song because you picture your mother as a young woman and then your dad writing the song about her. So it kind of chokes me up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how you get through it.
Well, it's after a while, once the that's the thing about like Mexican music and bluegrass music, you always go through all these lyrics that are all about killing and, you know, all that stuff. And the melody behind it is always so happy. So that's how I get through it, by listening to the happy melody.
Well, you have your feet in so many cultures, the native cultures of Mexico, the European cultures of Mexico, the United States, from Texas on into Wisconsin. This is honored in the new book, From Fields to Stage. How do these cultures shape you and your music?
The way I look at it, it's a long journey that we've all been on. That's what I'm calling my new CD, Migration Road. And it's kind of a funny story because for Christmas, my wife got me a DNA test from the Genome Project from the National Geographic Society. And so it was interesting to find out all of the backgrounds that went into getting me to where I am now. So that was very interesting.
Chris, looking forward to the new CD, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was Chris Plata, Wisconsin musician with his band Extra Hot. They're known for their blend of Tex-Mex polkas, country rock, swing tunes, and more. The new book, a biography of Chris, it's called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about barn dances here in Wisconsin.
But right now, it is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm here with producer Chris Molina. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. This drive is the time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a very exciting hour for us here on Central Time. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because Peggy from Phillips will double every dollar that you give. It's her way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And here's another great reason to become a member.
That's right. You can give any amount and you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. Now, should you win, you'd get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River. Maybe you want to explore Alaska or sample the French lifestyle. Whatever you choose, double your donation right now. Get entered in that drawing for a trip at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We cover a lot of topics here on the Ideas Network, and especially here on Central Time. You know, just today we heard about the latest news regarding same-sex marriage in Wisconsin, but over the last weeks and months we've heard things like the rise of slow reading and age of distraction. We do our Curious Wisconsin segment. We've heard some great stories about a pagoda that was saved in Eau Claire, about an innkeeper in Cornucopia who was overwhelmed with all the traffic from the ice caves. You know, there's so many interesting stories to be told throughout Wisconsin, and we try to do that here on Central Time. You know, it's a valuable service. It's a service that's worth supporting.
So make your contribution of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, to support the Ideas Network programs that you enjoy. This is your chance to make the programs possible at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And if you can, consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or more. Your gift of $1,200 or more provides an important piece of funding for the programs we all rely on.
Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen, you out there in your car, at home, wherever it is that you're listening, you provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation comes with no strings attached, so we can invest it in the programs and deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, can I help you?
Could I get two double cheeseburgers with extra cheese and mayonnaise? Oh, and add bacon.
Are you sure? Do you know what those calories are? Not to mention the saturated fats in those processed foods.
Well, yes, I'm sure. And could you supersize the order? Oh, and I'll take the largest Coke you have.
Supersize? My goodness, and that large soda? That has a half a cup of sugar by itself. Oy, 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 oy. All right. I'm going to give you one burger, no cheese, no mayo, without the bun. You don't need those empty carbs. I'm going to add lettuce and tomato. I'm going to substitute fruit and carrot sticks for the fries and one large water. Voila! Here you go. Enjoy.
Yes, Zorba Pastor could work at a fast food restaurant. But isn't it better that he's hosting Zorba Pastor on Your Health? Your support makes WPR programs possible and makes your life a little healthier. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Make that donation in support of the programs you count on by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Chris Molina, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gifts.
When you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every day, and some on the weekend, you're listening to more than 700 hours of WPR a year.
And if you've never given to WPR before, make that gift today, maybe $5 a month, for hundreds of hours of listening. That makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you're going to find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, it really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's say you make a pledge of $10 a month. That amounts to about 30 cents a day. You know, you probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things you value less than WPR.
So spend a little right now, and you're going to get a lot in return. Join, renew, or make that extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whether you go online or you call, you'll be investing in a station that you use.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. That means you can get your pledge doubled, but you have to make it right now. Your pledge of $5 turns into $10, $10 into $20, $20 into $40, and so on and so on and so on. Maximize the impact of your pledge. Do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if that dollar-for-dollar match is not enough, how about this? As an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, you can just relax. You're automatically entered.
We heard from Jan in Minneapolis who says, I'm just visiting Madison, and I think WPR is a great station. I plan to go to France when I win the WPR trip. Jan got her pledge in. She's in for the drawing. She thinks she's going to win the trip, but it could be you. You can only get entered in that drawing, though, by making your pledge, and you can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Think about maybe one piece of information, a story like Chris Plata that you heard that really made you stop and think, that made you maybe get a little emotional, that made you gave you some information that you're chewing over and has changed the way you think. What is that worth to you? Think about that, put a number on it, and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Marion Appleton, who says, I enjoy the many stories about people and how events in the news affect their lives. It brings news down to a more personal level. That's something that we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We want to be your radio station. We want to personalize it for you. You make this radio station possible. This is your radio station. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget. Pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thanks.
it's time for Wisconsin Life. Every fall for the past 6 years, the O'Brien Family Farm near Brooklyn hosts an old-time barn dance that draws hundreds of people. It's a potluck dinner and a dance inside a former dairy barn. Seth Jovog brings us the sound of this year's event.
Anybody want to dance? Let's find a partner. We're going to start off with a Virginia reel. After that, we'll get into some square dances and we'll teach everything tonight, like we always do. So welcome back. Find a partner, get out on the floor, and we'll get you lined up into little sets to do the Virginia reel.
My name is Dan O'Brien, and I and my brother Mark operate O'Brien Farms Incorporated, which produces hybrid seed corn. I'm 70 years old, and I've been farming all my life. The barn was built in 1938. It was a dairy barn up until about the last 12 years. Then we refurbished the barn for Connie's wedding 8 years ago.
Well, after my wedding, there was never really a plan to use the barn. And my friend Paul and I were just brainstorming one evening at our neighbor's house and just decided that that would be a good way to use the space. He's a fiddle player and he could get the music together and I could kind of do the rest, so we just decided, hey, let's just try it. Have a potluck and invite your neighbors and put on some music and see if people are interested in that sort of thing. And I think the first year we got 250 people and we were just really amazed.
If it gets any bigger, we have to build onto the barn.
Yeah.
Want to start it right there?
I think we've really had people from all over the state probably come.
Forward.
It's just a harvest barn party.
Right hand's round.
Kind of the end of the year hurrah, and it's just really nice just to get everybody together.
It's rural history, rural America, and which we don't see much of.
Top couple, sachet, skip down there.
And a lot of people might, oh, why, you milked in this barn, or, well, you lived here, and yes, and it just brings the reality of country life back to a lot of people who really didn't know it existed.
The harvest year is winding down, and we have to be thankful for what we have. Years like this, maybe you'd like to have a little bit more, but all in all, it's still a pretty good life, and just a good way to say, hey, let's celebrate what we got.
Everybody home and swing your partner, folks! Thank the band!
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Catch more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. You can find more info at wisconsinlife.org.
Now we're going to learn about square dancing with Charlie Bitter. He's the Assistant General Chair for the 2015 Wisconsin Square and Round Dance Convention and member of the Board of Directors for that convention. Charlie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be on here.
Well, how many different kinds of dances are included when we're talking about square dancing?
Well, when you talk about square dancing, you're talking about a community dance program. You're talking about contras, reels, circle dances, trios. And in actual modern Western square dancing, you then got your basic level, mainstream level, plus, and it goes all the way up to advance and challenge. So there's quite a lot of different programs that people can get involved in.
Now, what's the difference we heard in that piece, square dancing and I think round dancing? What's the difference between square dancing and round dancing?
Okay, square dancing, you're working with four couples in a square, and everybody depends on everybody else to be where they're supposed to be. Where in round dancing, we like to call it kind of pre-choreographed ballroom dancing, where you learn a two-step or a waltz, you learn the steps. And then the cure, which my wife is a cure, she tells you what steps to do to a particular selection that's already been pre-choreographed by somebody.
So what is it like when you're actually watching this thing unfold? Does it look like art on the dance floor?
Yes. Sometimes it looks like art on a dance floor, and sometimes in square dancing, what I call it at times, it looks like a demolition derby.
Depends how it goes, huh?
It depends upon how it goes, yes. We always say in square dancing, the dancers only have variations to the movements. It's the callers who make all the mistakes.
So how do the calls work in square dancing? I've seen it at county fairs and state fairs, but I don't claim to understand it.
Well, there are, in the mainstream program, there's about 70 different movements to learn. Some of them are real easy, like circle left or circle right. But then you can get into some of the little more difficult ones, like Alamanthars or a grand square or a square through four or a swing through. You know, it's just the people learn those movements, and then it's up to the caller to tell the people what movements they have to do based on what position they're in at the moment.
Whoa, so if I'm dancing, I need to know what an Alamanthars is to do the dance?
And that, well, to be able to dance the basic level, yeah, you would have to know what an Alamanthar is. But when we start out with new dancers, we start out with the very easy stuff like circle left, circle right, heads up to the middle and back, sides up to the middle and back, make a right-hand star, make a left-hand star. That's all the that's all the real easy stuff, and then as each week goes along, we add a little bit more and a little bit more to it and keep the dancers dancing and start to increase their square dance vocabulary.
Charlie, I have two left feet, and I'm not a quick learner when it comes to anything involving coordination. How hard is it for a beginner to learn how to square dance?
It is not that hard at all. If you know how to walk, you can square dance.
So even you, Rob,
even
square
I could do it, huh?
Yes, even you can do it. I have had some dancers that I have taught that I never thought I would get them started, and I have got them to be able to dance. And there's one dancer in particular who has really progressed with his dancing, and he's learned both the man's part and the girl's part.
So Charlie, you really know this barn dancing thing. You could be tangoing. You could be foxtrotting. Why do you love barn dancing?
Barn dancing is fun because, you know, you're working with three other couples in a square. And it's very lively. Round dancing, if you look at the ballroom dancing that's done, and it's just the two people, it's just you two that, you know, that are up on the floor and you're trying to look very graceful. Where with square dancing, you can really hoop and holler and just have a good time and blow off steam and forget about all your worries. And with square dancing, you know, it's a health. It helps with your health. It's done internationally. It is very inexpensive. It's for all families, you know, we have people dancing from families with 8 or 9 year olds all the way up to 90 year olds. It crosses all economic and social lines, and it allows you to forget about your day-to-day problems and worries. You just come in and you dance, you listen to the caller, and you enjoy yourself, and you walk away after a 2-hour dance with a big smile on your face.
If we're a spectator here, whether we're at a fair or at the convention next year, tell us something we need to know to watch and really appreciate square dancing.
The best thing I could say for that is that you just come in and you sit and you watch the people dance and you see the smiles on their faces. You see all ages dancing together. You don't really have to know how to do the movements or understand what's going on. Just stand and watch and say, gee, I can walk, I can do that.
Wow. So it sounds like there's a dancing, but I also get the sense there's a big community aspect to this, that you really get close to people and it brings people together. Is that true?
Yes, it does. You become a family, and when you go to conventions such as the state convention, which is going to be in Fond du Lac next year, or you go to a national convention, you make friends. You renew old friendships. We met two couples back in 1999 when we went to Baltimore. And we only see them maybe once a year or once every other year. But it's just like we're just back there again, and we're enjoying each other's company. after being gone for so long. And some of us, we keep up with them, you know, through emails or Facebook or some of the more modern ways of communicating with people. You make friends, and some of these friendships, they last for a lifetime.
Well, Charlie, thanks a lot for being on and sharing this with us.
You're quite welcome, and hopefully maybe we'll see you at our state convention in Fond du Lac next year.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, Charlie Bitter was joining us there, Assistant General Chair and Board Member for the 2015 Wisconsin Square and Round Dance Convention.
And we've got a link to information about square dancing and that convention. Just head over to the Central Time Facebook page and check it out. Coming up, a look at the life and legacy of Wisconsin author Ben Logan. But first, Chris Molina joins us here. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Chris, welcome back. Give us an update.
Well, we're doing really good so far this hour, Rob. We had a goal of 25 pledges. We've heard from 28 members. Thank you so much if you've already given. We do still have the dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Peggy and Phillips. So with your pledge, you can get it doubled. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 into $200, you get the points. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Make your pledge count. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And here's another great reason to give.
Yeah, give any amount, and you support great public radio, and your pledge is doubled, and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discovering Alaska, or sampling the French lifestyle. Double your donation now. Get entered into that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We had a great last segment. We learned about square and round dancing in Wisconsin. And one of the things I love about the show is we find these quirky little slices of life here in Wisconsin. You know, our guest Charlie Bitter said he compared square dancing to art on the dance floor, but it can also be like a demolition derby.
Yeah, if I were dancing, that's probably what it would look like.
I would be right there with you, Rob. But, you know, this is just one example of some of just you know, the interesting and quirky little bits that we bring you here on Central Time and on the Ideas Network.
Yeah, I know Wisconsin so much better. Working on the Ideas Network, working on this show, I've learned a lot along the way. Well, make your contribution to keep these conversations going. $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose to support the Ideas Network programs you enjoy. It's your chance to make the programs possible, to be a part of it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're able to, consider making a gift of $1,200. You know, listener support, it's so crucial to WPR's future.
If you can afford it, make that pledge of $100 a month. Join the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like listening to WPR because I learned so much. You never really stop learning. Being a sustainer for Wisconsin Public Radio makes my husband and I both feel like we're members of a big, wonderful family. My husband and I discussed it. He says, like the Barefoot Contessa, how easy is that? I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it makes you think outside the box. I tend to have a narrow vision, and listening to public radio has opened up my eyes and my ears and my mind to all that can be and all that is. I'm Pat Steers. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I enjoy very much being a WPR sustainer, and I know you will too.
And you can do it with a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Chris Molina, Central Time producer, joining us in the studio now to help ask for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
The important part is that you make that pledge. And when you do, it's only going to take just a couple minutes of your time. All we need is your name and your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. You can give in one lump sum, or better yet, become a monthly sustainer. No matter how you choose to give or how much you give, use the next few minutes of your time to support the station that you count on, Wisconsin Public Radio, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to Wisconsin Public Radio makes things better, makes driving or working or even just sitting down in a chair a different experience, a better experience.
Your support makes WPR possible, and it turns ordinary activities into extraordinary ones. Your life is so much better with WPR in it. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let me introduce a note of urgency here. We got off to a great start on that match this hour, but we're not quite there yet. We only have a minute and a half or so to pick that up. Your pledge right now will make this dollar-for-dollar match happen. It will take full advantage of it. A Peggy from Phillips is doubling every dollar you give. It's her way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge. Help us hit that match by the end of this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you're making that pledge, give any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose. Cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle. Not a bad option in the bunch, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Double your donation right now. Get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Loretta from Fort Atkinson Pledge says, I listen every day, so I'm happy to give to support it. And Beth from Sauk City put it real simply, five words, I listen, therefore I give. Join Beth and Loretta with your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Great news, Chris. I see on there.
We hit our dollar-for-dollar match. We hit the $2,500 limit. We have heard from 34 members. Thank you so much. We heard from 19 new members.
Wow, 20 now.
20 new members. Thank you so much for your first-time pledge. It means so much to me. We can't do this without you. You need to get your pledge in right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
Great momentum. Make your pledge now. WPR.org.